So Virginia is your national champions of college basketball, and they are not the most flashy team. They're not the most one-and-done dominant team, right? They're not even, as much as they've had success under Tony Bennett, they're not even one of the blue bloods of college basketball. And, of course, Texas Tech isn't in that conversation either. So the conversation that we used to have about whether or not that we needed these kind of Zion Williamses and the Dukes and the North Carolinas and the Kansases in these championship games, well, last night was one of the better championship games I've ever seen. And it doesn't matter that there's no Zion Williamson. It doesn't matter that there's no Duke. That these two teams put on a show as best as they could, and it was as entertaining as I've seen, because there was a competitive basketball game with so much at stake. And in the end, that's what I'm looking for, since I don't care who wins the game. I did not care if Virginia won or Texas Tech won. I'm watching it to be entertained by two teams that know what is at stake and are giving everything they can. And in the end, I got an entertaining game. Now, sometimes you get two teams that give you everything, and it's not entertaining. But this one was. But boy, it did not look like it was going to start out that way when both teams started struggling from the floor. Right off the bat, I went, wow, we're going to chill out here for a while. But in the end, both teams came through with their stars. Both teams came through with their players that need, when they needed them the most, those guys stepped up. It's a shame that there was a controversial call at the in overtime with about a minute left that marred it a little bit. But make no mistake, it didn't mar it enough to take away from the entertainment value of that game last night. And Virginia, as I've said before, a worthy champion for the what they went through and how they got there. So congratulations to Tony Bennett and the Virginia Cavaliers. We'll talk more about the game last night, but also we got some other things to get to, including what is going to go on today in Boston that may have you go, ugh. And Nick Saban has some comments about going pro early from college football. Of course he does. I'll tell you what he said. Coming up, it's SB Nation AM, SB Nation Radio.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, would you like to get the lowest prices on most of your airline tickets? SmartFares can save you up to 70% on your airline tickets, foreign or domestic travel. Call now for special unpublished rates, 800-296-1432, 800-296-1432. All right, so we've been talking about Virginia winning the national championship last night, so they'll head to Charlottesville. Well, there'll be a celebration, a different kind of celebration today in Boston. Hey, Ron, how would you like to be at Fenway Park today when the world champion Boston Red Sox have their home opener celebrating the world champion, Super Bowl champion, New England Patriots? That sounds like a Boston fun fest, don't you think?
Of course.
Wouldn't that sound like something most of us would enjoy watching? The two Boston teams celebrating each other as champions? Nah, you go first. Nah, you go first. Nah, you go first.
Will the Patriots reciprocate? Probably not, right?
Probably not. Did they? I mean, did they reciprocate earlier?
I don't think so.
At any point during the regular season when they were, after the Red Sox had won the World Series?
I think Kraft was busy.
God, this is going to be, if you have a ticket to this home opener at Fenway Park, you just can't get enough of this.
Oh my God.
Red Sox and the Patriots, both champions of the same year, celebrating it right here. I'm so excited.
You know,
this
is great. Good for them. This could bring on a curse, though. Having that much, championship-ness.
Yeah, that's right.
Might be Boston's demise.
It could be. Yeah, well, I don't know. We'll see. I've been waiting for that for a long time. All my friends in New Hampshire, a state in which I grew up, all very, very happy today. I tell them that. I say, good for you. You put up with a lot. I wasn't a Patriots fan growing up in New England. I covered them for three and a half years right out of college. The early Bill Belichick, Drew Bledsoe days. And I tell my friends all the time with this Patriots success. It's like, I never saw it coming. You always had a little success with the Celtics. Bruins sometimes would make the Stanley Cup like in the 80s. But I never thought the Patriots would be what they have become. And good for you. You stuck with them. It would have been easy to jump aboard another team and at least have something to root for, but you stuck by your team, and now they're rewarding you with the dynasty. So that's what's going to go on at Fenway Park. Now the Red Sox, how dare the Red Sox give us championship after championship now when they went 89 years or 86 years without winning a title? Now just every now and then they pop up and win a world championship. Oh, they're struggling. Now they're 5 games behind Tampa Bay this early in the season. Now I know there's plenty of games left. Don't worry about it. It's not going to be a big deal. But you know, right now they're struggling. But they had to open up with 11 games on the road. So take that for what it is. All right, so Nick Saban has some comments about underclassmen going to play in the NFL early, leaving school to go early. Of course he does. So one thing I know about Nick Saban, as brilliant as he is as a coach, he does this thing that drives me crazy, in which he says things that seem on the surface like, oh, this is common sense. Yeah, he's only looking out for the kids. He's only looking out for their well-being. But deep down has an undercurrent of self-value to what he's saying, meaning I'm getting benefit out of this too. So what he's talking about is underclassmen who declare early for the draft. He says basically if you do that, you're getting screwed and you're not making a very good business decision. Why is that? Quote, when people make emotional decisions, they're going to have to suffer some real difficult consequences for themselves in the future. Because you don't have to go out early, out of the draft early. You can come back and play. We've had 6 or 7 guys here that have had second or third round grades that became top 15 and first round picks and have made significant amount of money doing that. So there's some really good examples of guys that did it that way. He also noted, and he didn't want to name the player, that there was a player from Alabama who left last year and became a starting safety going in the third round, and he says that's not great from a financial perspective. Problem is, everyone easily figured out that was Ronnie Harrison, who came out early and was a third round pick of Jacksonville. And Harrison came out and basically said, "Well, we've all been saying for years that basically, no matter how much money I make today, is a lot more than I made playing for you when I was at Alabama." So Saban wants, of course, to players to play at Alabama for as long as they possibly can, right? That's what every coach does. They don't want you going pro early. In football, it's not the same as what John Calipari is doing at Kentucky, right? John Calipari is turning Kentucky into an NBA factory, right? All of these McDonald All-Americans are going to Kentucky because Calipari can get them out of Kentucky quickly and into the NBA, where he's going to hone their skills, where he will have a reputation of doing that. Saban has a reputation of getting guys to the NFL, a lot of guys to the NFL. Every draft, look how many Alabama players are going in the NFL. The problem is he wants you to stay there as long as you possibly, as long as you can, as long as you are allowed to stay there. He wants to utilize you. Now, is he technically right? Yeah, he's technically right. A player could stay at Alabama, bump up their draft stock, and then make a lot more money. You know, he pointed out that, you know, this particular player, didn't mention Harrison by name, is playing with third round money. So his agent is making some money. The team is benefiting from getting a high quality player at that kind of value. But Harrison isn't getting value for his skill. And that's a correct statement to make. But it always comes with a level of how will this benefit me, right? It's never 100% on I'm looking after the kids, I'm taking care of the guys. It's always about, oh no, stick around here at Alabama for a number of years. And listen, Harrison is right too. Listen, I'm making more money than I ever made playing at Alabama. But also, and he pointed this out in his tweet, it was his dream. He got his dream early. He wanted to play in the NFL, and now he gets to play in the NFL. He's accomplished his goal. And Saban does this a lot, and he's hard to figure out, but this is what he does. He comes out, he'll talk about a rule, for example, or he'll talk about a certain scenario in the landscape of football that he doesn't like. But he'll always use someone else or some other person in the conversation that they'll benefit from it. He's just sticking up for them, when in reality, he's sticking up for himself. And there's nothing necessarily wrong with that, but at the same time, it's a touch disingenuous, especially when you're going after a guy and you use the, I don't want to mention any names, but then you give enough details to know who you're talking about. Like, gee, Nick, I wonder how many people left your program early last year that were third-round picks. I think that's easy to figure out. And that particular player is saying, no, I'm all good with it. Because, again, if I had played a year under you, I wouldn't have gotten paid. I might have gotten hurt. You could have dictated how much playing time I was getting. And I could have suffered from that. So I rolled the dice. I got a grade. I got drafted. I'm in the league. Could I be making more money? Yes, but in my world, I don't care. I've got my dream, and I'm getting paid more than if I played for you, which is a valuable point. I know we don't like when colleges become like these pro factories for some of these programs, right? A little, you know, you cringe a little at the one and done. They go to school. You don't even know what they're doing in school other than playing basketball, and they're just using it as a stopping ground. And football is different because you got to be with the program for a lot longer. You're not a one and done in football. You got to be there at least 3 years removed from high school in order to go in. I think 3 years is enough. I think 3 years is enough. If you're getting a decent enough grade to be drafted and that's what you want to do and you're tired of playing for free and you know you can get paid immediately and that's what you want to do, go do it. It's not always about value. It's not always about money. Sometimes it's about, listen, the thing I want to do, my dream is to do this, and I would like that dream to occur sooner than later and basically start right now. And good for him. But, yeah, give Nick Saban credit. He tries. He really does. He tries to make himself sound like he's this very, I really care about these kids. I really care about the money that they're going to make at the next level. And really not. I really could benefit from this guy sticking around and playing another year for my program. After all, I got Trevor Lawrence to deal with, so I could use as many NFL safeties on my roster as I possibly can. If I'm going up against that Clemson juggernaut again, having Ronnie Harrison around will certainly help my status. All right, 800-777-2907. It's Tony D, Ron Culver, SB Nation AM. Hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio and also at Ron Culver, and Ron with two N's, SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, you can now earn O-Rewards points online at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. Earn points any way you shop at O'Reilly Auto Parts. You get a $5 reward for every 150 points you earn. Visit orewards.com. Become an O'Reilly O-Rewards member today. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. On Twitter, Michael says, this is the second time the Patriots and the Red Sox have won the championship in the same year, 04 and 18. They almost did it a third time in 07, but the Pats lost to David Tyree's helmet. Well, yeah, well, that's true. Good point. Golly, that would have been remarkable.
If you're a Boston Knight,
yeah, but
or Bostonian,
true. But you know, just think big picture, Ron. I mean, when a team a Super Bowl and a World Series title in the same year, it's pretty cool. Doesn't matter. I mean, we kind of pick on Boston because right now they're on top of the mountain in terms of championships.
But. I can't really think. I don't think we've had other teams do that, right? Or other cities do that.
We had one do this, and that was the 1986 Mets won the World Series, and then the Giants won the Super Bowl in January of 1987. So the 86 year,
okay.
The Giants won the Super Bowl.
All right.
But maybe there's another one, and I'm not thinking clearly, and I'm not putting it together. But I don't think there has been. I'm trying to think. No, the Giants, Yankees didn't win anything with the other Giants. No,
yeah. And then when the Yankees were winning in the late '90s, Giants were nowhere.
Giants were nowhere.
That's
all I got. That's all I got. I'm sure if I did some sort of. Nope. I'm actually going through my head right now, and I'm trying to figure it out. And I don't think I can.
Yeah, I don't think there is. Yeah, I was thinking back.
Pirates and Steelers. 79? 79-80? We Maybe. Are Family, Willie Stargell's Pirates and the Steel. I think they were on the cover of Sports Illustrated. So I think they did it in the 70s. So
there you go.
That's where my brain is going. That's as far back as my brain's going.
We need more cities. Come on, cities, step up.
Come on, step up. Listen, hey, by the way, I know again, those of us outside of the fan base for Red Sox and Patriots, we kind of we kind of pick on it. We don't really pick on it, but we're kind of jealous. But good for the city of Boston. For whatever reason, and I don't know how it happened, but whatever the Patriots were doing, it really did bleed into the other teams and sort of made – I mean, you don't normally see that where there's sort of an infectious winning that goes on in a city. It's usually one, and then, you know, everybody wants to know why aren't the other teams stepping up to the plate. But the Patriots winning, Boston finally getting over the hump, the Celtics did it. You know, the Celtics, Bruins won a Stanley Cup. So, you know, it bled into it. Yep. Michael's got it on Twitter. Says Pittsburgh in 79 with the Pirates and Steelers. Yep.
But sometimes it works. Sometimes it can backfire because, you know, yes, Boston is standing on top of the mountain, but LA is not.
Yeah, that's true.
LA was runner up, I guess, twice. If you can call him runner up.
Yep. Super Bowl loss and World Series loss. You're right. Exactly. LA again. Gosh. Yep. Unbelievable. Having grown up there, listen, the Red Sox thing was not overblown. It wasn't hyperbole. You heard it from Cubs fans too. It really was real. I mean, I remember I was in school during the 86 World Series, and I remember there was a sadness with that 86 Red Sox team that was so amazing. Everyone in my school was so sad that they lost. But here's basically, it was Monday too, but here was basically the backstory. The Saturday game, the game six was played on a Saturday. Okay. And the Red Sox were up, and most of you know the story. They flashed congratulations, Boston Red Sox World Series champions on the screen at Shea Stadium for a second because they were one strike away. Mets had nobody on, right? The Mets rallied, put a base hit after base hit, pass ball error, right? It led to them winning the game, and they were going to game seven. But game seven was scheduled for Sunday, but game seven got rained out. And game seven was then on Monday. I kid you not, no one in my school, none of the kids in my school thought the Red Sox were going to win. You would think that they would say, you know what? No, I believe in my team. Bad loss. We're going to come back. We're going to win. We got Bruce Hurst on the mound. We're going to win that game. You know, Oil Can Boyd was supposed to start game seven, but because it got rained out, McNamara decided he could go with Bruce Hurst. But we're going to win that game. Don't you worry. Nobody said that. Nobody said that. It was literally waiting for a sports funeral. Everybody felt like the Mets were going to win. And the Mets won. And the Patriots, early in the year, had gone to the Super Bowl and lost to the Bears in a pretty embarrassing way. But the Celtics not only won the title in 1986, but they won it dramatically. I mean, they won it big time. They were a really, really good basketball team. Really good. But they won the championship. But get this. You want to talk about a wild year in Boston sports. Not only did they win the championship in 86, they got the number two pick in the draft. Philadelphia got the number one pick. Via trade, they got the number two pick in the draft, and they took Len Bias, who died like 3 days later. See, you want to talk about losing a Super Bowl to the Bears in 46-10, right? A Super Bowl blowout. Then they win the NBA title, have the number two pick, choose Len Bias. He dies. Red Sox have a phenomenal year. Clemens strikes out 20 batters in April against Seattle. He goes 14-0 to start the season. Right, the Red Sox win the division. They're down on their luck against the Angels. They need Henderson. Dave Henderson did a home run in game five of that series to just stay alive because the Angels were a strike away from eliminating Boston and going to the World Series. They go back to Fenway Park and they win the series. They face the Mets. They take the first two games against the Mets. Then the Mets come back. Then they win, winning in game six. They lose game six. The rain out on Sunday. They go to Monday and they lose. And they lose the World Series. Wild year. Wild, wild year. So celebration today at Fenway Park to celebrate the Red Sox and the Yankees. So a little bit more history than probably you wanted, but I'm just giving you context of what that city had gone through for so many years. So the fact that they're celebrating a lot of these championships, God bless them. God bless them. I hope other cities can experience the kind of joy that the Bostonians are feeling right now. I'm looking at you, Cleveland. All right? Looking at you. Put another parade together. Maybe not right away. I still want to enjoy the Steelers for what they got for as little while that they have it. But, you know, maybe put something together. You in Los Angeles. Maybe Sean McVay does get you a title. Houston, same thing. Get another title for the Astros and the Rockets possibly this year. Boy, the Rockets are good. See them hit 27 three-pointers the other night? they got to move that line back. Now it's becoming like child's play.
It really
swish,
is.
Swish, swish, swish. 27 three-pointers?
But what do we go? Do we go 21 feet?
Go to half court for all I care. That's awesome. 27 three-point shots in a game. Oh, that's great. So the NBA playoffs coming up, I mean, the Rockets are looking like a solid three. See, maybe they could get the 2 seed from Denver. I don't know if they can or not. But solid 3 seed. They're a team I don't want to mess around with right now. They're playing really good. Don't take the hottest team coming in. Rockets are the hottest team coming in. They've won 6 in a row in like 20 out of 23 or something like that. I mean, just an incredible amount of victories that they've got on their plate right now. And, you know, Golden State and Denver, so they've got, you know, are some resting some guys, but watch out for the Rockets when this thing gets really rolling. Watch out for the Rockets. All right, coming up, more thoughts on the national championship game last night. Is Texas Tech a viable team to come back? But we'll do the good, the bad, and the dumb coming up as well. It's SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio. Good, the bad, the dumb for a Tuesday morning post-championship during Masters Week. The good for today, Mr. Culver.
Oh, the good. It might be a little sarcastic good because I couldn't really find a really good story. No one saving babies or stopping speeding trains or whatever, gotcha. What have you. But I will throw this out there. For the good today is Old Man Winter.
All right.
Old Man Winter just not ready to put the suntan lotion on and sleep the day away under some swaying palm trees. Have you heard what's coming?
No, what's coming?
To the northwest. Oh, or no. Not to the northwest. I guess to the northern plains where, you know what, they haven't had enough wet weather this year. But a blizzard is expecting to hit the northern plains this week, dumping as much as 2 feet of snow. The heaviest impact is looking to be Nebraska.
Oh,
isn't
wow.
that great? Isn't that great,
so
that Old Man Winter?
April
does,
9th.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, winter is still here. You know,
doesn't
I mean,
want to leave.
Winter is coming again
yep.
and again and again and again. I think someone needs to shoot the groundhog.
Yeah, no, it doesn't want to go anywhere. Man, I didn't realize. Man, how many feet of snow, too?
About 2 feet.
Wow, in April.
Going to have blizzard-like conditions. In, you know, northern Nebraska, was I guess Montana, South Dakota area.
Wow.
Yeah.
Man, it's never going away.
It's just great.
Well, maybe you just have to put up with it until it starts melting.
I mean, I feel so bad for those people.
Me too.
I mean, they have had just so much horrendous weather. Or maybe they want, you know, I'll look at it this way. Maybe the kids just don't want to be in school right now.
Yeah.
You know,
when I was living in Colorado, we would get snow, you know, this time of year, but it would disappear. You know, it would be these really cool spring storms that would dump a bunch of snow in like May and yeah. be like, oh, it's awesome. But it was sunny and warm with it. You know, as the sun would come out, it'd be 70, it would start to melt. It was just something that came off the mountains. But that doesn't sound like what's going to go on in Nebraska.
No, it doesn't.
That sounds like it's going to stick around, like it's going to land and then stick, and then you'll have it like 3 weeks later going, oh, come on.
Yeah.
Melt already.
We're over it.
All right.
The bat of the day. Have you been following, how closely have you been following the Baltimore Orioles?
Oh, I know where you're going with this. I haven't been following them super close, but I know where you're going with this.
Yeah, me neither. But if you have been following, there is a guy. I believe he was considered to be one of the better hitters in the league at one
yes,
point.
Yes, he was.
I know he was a decent power hitter.
Yep.
But we got to congratulate Chris Davis.
Chris Davis.
He set the MLB record for hitless at-bats, consecutive hitless at-bats. He is 0-49.
That's incredible.
Since hitting a double last September on September 14th.
So this is carrying over from last
yeah.
year.
This year he's only 0-28.
How does a Major League Baseball player go 0-47?
I don't know. Well, he's 0-49.
0-49.
He hasn't had a hit since September 14th of last season.
How do you get up to the plate 50 times?
How does a manager let you go up to the plate?
I know.
I mean, as a manager, you know, I just remember that one scene in Major League where I can't, when Lou was all like, he's like, oh, I have a feeling he's due.
Right.
Is that I don't know who the manager for the Orioles is because, you know.
Isn't it Buck Showalter still?
Is it Buck Showalter? I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe.
But, I mean, do you sit there and just keep saying to yourself, he's due. He's due. And every single time it's just, you know, strikeout, pop fly, ground out. And like, I got to start rethinking. But it does get worse for Chris Davis.
All right. So how does it get worse?
Jose Canseco tweeted out that he is offering up his services to help him get out of the streak.
No. Jose Canseco's like, I know that to do this. I'm good with this. Yep. It's so funny. I just looked up the Orioles schedule because I'm wondering if he goes hitless in the next three games against Oakland. I got a good chant for you in Boston at Fenway Park Friday when the Orioles come to town. And every time Chris Davis gets to the plate, if he's 0 for whatever he is, just go start the bus, just to remind him that that's his future. If he doesn't start hitting the baseball pretty soon, he's going to be riding buses and staying in motels. It's pretty good, don't you think? That's a pretty good one.
I like that.
Yeah.
Or you could just start chanting Canseco.
Canseco would be pretty good, actually.
Canseco, I mean, he offered to help him get back to that 50 home run play and also offered help with the psychology of the game and the psychology of a power hitter.
I can see. I would like to know his psychological angle to an 0-49 streak.
Because remember,
there's stuff about Canseco's training that I don't want to know, but I wouldn't mind knowing how the psychology works.
I'm not 100% sure. Isn't a main difference between psychologist and psychiatrist is that a psychiatrist can prescribe drugs and a psychologist can't?
Or is it reverse?
Is it reverse?
I think you're on the money for that. I think you're on the money. It's either one or the other, but I think you're the thought process is accurate.
Yeah. What I'm going with is if he sticks with psychology, then you know seek out Canseco's help. If he goes psychiatry on you, you'll be suspended. So at least you can't go over.
That's right. God, 0-49.
0-49.
This is awful.
Yeah, that's not really bad. At what point do you just lay down a bunt? And just hope.
Oh, do anything, right? He's making $23 million a year to not do anything.
To not do anything.
To strike out or fly out.
To his credit, he does have 2 RBIs on the season.
By drawing walks,
I'm assuming,
or sacrifices?
Probably sacrifices. Probably, you know, yeah. Hitting into a grounder or pop fly.
Right. God, listen, these streaks, these slumps that these ball players get into, man, they're real. And when you get into them and they're hard to get out of, the pressure just mounts and mounts and mounts and mounts. And it is really hard. And you know what? It's when you're young and you get into them, sometimes you just know. Like my son played Little League and he got into a batting slump. He was a good hitter when he first joined Little League. And then he got into a batting slump as he produced, got into Babe Ruth, and he just never got out of it. He said, that's enough. I'm done. But when you're getting paid to get out of it, I don't know what you do. Like, I have no idea. Like, for my son, he's like, this isn't fun anymore. I want to do some other sports, like football and track. Yep. But for Chris Davis, you can't – you have to get out of this. Like, you have to get out of this. There's no, Dad, can I do something else? You can't do that. Like, you have to – you're getting paid $23 million. Figure it out. But the answer isn't there. There's no answer.
And if he's at 23, you can't drop him down to the minors, right?
Well, that's the thing. $23 million. You can't.
You got
to tough it out.
Yeah, you can't
send him to the minors because in the minors he might get a few hits, but that doesn't translate to him. Somebody has got to step into this and figure out what's going on in his head and what's going on with his form. Something that will spark something because he goes on a tear or something after
he needs,
this.
He needs a Cheech.
Yeah,
I can't
that's
remember.
Right,
I can't
yeah.
remember Cheech's character in Tin Cup.
That's right. He needs a Romeo.
Romeo.
Yeah, he needs Romeo.
He needs Romeo to come there and say, all right, now put the seeds in your right pocket.
That's right. That's what he needs. right?
No, interlock.
You know what he needs?
Index finger.
He needs Tom Emanski baseball. That's what he needs. He needs the Tom Emanski baseball videos.
The Tom Emanski hitting school
with Fred McGriff with the hat with no logo on it. Right?
This endorsement,
vouching for it, giving it the endorsement. That's what he needs. God,
I missed that video.
Maybe they should go John Wooden on him. Remember we talked about John Wooden, and I was saying that there was always that story of every year he taught his players how to tie their shoes.
Yeah, no, maybe.
He basically taught players how to put their socks on and how to tie their shoes at the beginning of the season. And the thought was it was just a reminder that the little things matter. So he wanted his players to know, today I'm going to teach you how to put on your socks and shoes. And players went with it every single year, but it was every little thing you do matters. Everything matters in the larger picture. So maybe he needs one of those guys to say, okay, today we're going to put on your batting glove. How do you put on your batting glove? Well, you do this and do this. Now, how do you hold the bat? We're going to put the bat in hand. Jack Nicklaus used to talk about Jack Grout, his longtime instructor, that every beginning of the season when he would go to Jack Grout, when he was a young golfer, PGA Tour, winning all these tournaments, but they would still go to the basics. Jack, how do you hold the club? Well, you put your finger here, you put your hand here, you rotate this. How do you take the backswing? Like, they would do everything basic. Maybe that's something Chris Davis can do. Like, how do you stand in the box? How do you put the bat on your shoulder? How do you, I don't know, just an idea.
Some way he's got to get back to basics.
From Dr. T. That's right, get back to basics. All right, what is the dumb?
The dumb of the day is, it's a little audio nugget from the gift that keeps on giving.
Oh, here we go.
Man, Jello is, he's gotten big and he's killing it too, man.
Man, watch what Jello do this year. Watch what Jello do this year. You want some more guarantees? Guarantee he'll be in the summer league, and guarantee he'll have an NBA contract this year. How's that? Biggest and the strongest two-guard in the NBA right now. Ain't nobody built like him at the two-guard.
Can he?
Nobody. 6'6", 240. Can shoot the three, post you up, kill you. But you're going to see.
Can he be a lottery pick, LeVar?
Man, if Jello was coming out doing the thing, he'd be the first pick.
This year,
he'd be the first pick. Can't nobody hold a candle to that boy.
Over Zion Williamson.
He can't hold a candle to that boy. Why? Because he'll shoot his lights out, man. And he's stronger than Zion.
Stronger than Zion. Zion's a big boy.
He can be big, but he ain't no big baller. He's a Williamson. Williamsons ain't stronger than ballers.
This guy's unbelievable. He is P.T. Barnum and name it.
It's just the gift that keeps on giving.
He really is.
If it's a slow news day, all you got to do is Google LeVar Ball and we'll find some nugget of happiness.
So he's talking about, I'm assuming, LaMelo?
No,
right?
LaGello.
No,
I don't know.
LiAngelo.
LiAngelo.
LiAngelo. All right. LiAngelo is coming out. He's going to be better than Zion Williamson.
Yes.
Okay, I got it.
And so you know.
Wait a minute. Because he's better than Zion, because Zion's a Williamson, and that's not as good as a baller.
Yep.
And if you're a baller, then you're better than a Williamson. That's just the way it is.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Then there's no way that Zion can compete with Jello's game.
He can't. No chance. Oh, goodness. Oh, goodness. I can't wait to win.
I want a team to draft him just because.
I do, too. Oh, my God.
Just because I want to see the two of them go head-to-head.
So funny. That guy is so good. He's hilarious. Oh, God. He is entertaining, man. He is entertaining. You just shake your head. It's like, remember when people used to get really mad at him for this kind of stuff?
Yeah.
Now it's just like, whatever. Just keep rolling, man. Ah, you're on a roll. Just keep yapping.
Does he sit there? Does he, what's his daily routine? Does he think of something like, today I'm going to say Jello's better than Zion?
Yeah, why not?
I'm
going to
ride that train.
Right.
And that'll get me on this publication, and I'll get on this one and then this one, and everyone's going to be talking about me.
That's hilarious.
Not buying my shoes.
Oh, God. Zion is probably shaking his head, going, all right, I guess I'm not as good.
Yeah, I guess I'm not as good.
I'm about ready to walk into a room with about 15 shoe dealers ready to offer me millions and millions of dollars before I even get drafted.
and teams just fighting over me.
Right. They're actually talking about an Anthony Davis trade to get me. That guy is too much. All right, there you go. That is the best dumb I think you've had in a while. SB Nation Radio, it's SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Tony Bennett came in from Washington State to become the head coach of the Virginia Cavaliers. And, you know, listen, I think that when you have a coaching opening, whether it was Arkansas hire Eric Musselman or, you know, anyone else that's hiring a coach, it is very, very tempting to go with somebody that gets you, right? When you're an alumni of that school, everyone thinks they're special. Everybody thinks that their school is so special that nobody could possibly understand us but people who were once us. And it's easy to go down the road of hiring a guy that has such a tie to the program that it's a slam dunk. But there is a lesson to be learned in that. What went on at St. John's, Chris Mullin is stepping down as head coach after 4 years. There isn't anybody in the lore of St. John's basketball as revered as Chris Mullin. He is the prodigal son. And when he came back to St. John's, there was a lot of people expecting some really great things, and it did not work out. And St. John's is now going to have to go look for another coach. And, oh, by the way, you know who's on that list to possibly replace him, who's been suggested by the number of New York media outlets? Rick Pitino. So just keep that in mind in case that ever does come to fruition. But just be careful. I did this. I had this debate with somebody when I was in Colorado with the Buffaloes. The Buffaloes were looking for a new head football coach. John Embry was the coach that they hired. He had played there, and he was a Buffalo, and he got us, right? You hear this all the time from fan bases, right? You know, he's one of us. He gets us. Well, you don't need to get anything. You just need to be a good coach, and you'll work it through the system, and you'll work through the program. And if you're a good coach, you'll win. And when you start winning, you'll become one of us. That's usually how it works. Get the best candidate for the job, even if they've never even been to your state, even if they've never had a cup of coffee in your state. If they're the best qualified for the job, hire them. Don't hire a guy who's got a tie to the program that you think is going to work out, because when it doesn't work out, it's really, really painful. It's got to hurt the fans of St. John's that Chris Mullin didn't work out, because the belief that Chris Mullin would work out is almost a dream too good to come to fruition. The hot shooting guard from New York City coming home to lead St. John's back to glory. Lost in the 85 finals between Georgetown and Villanova was the fact that St. John's was the third Big East school to be in that group that was in Lexington, Kentucky that year, led by Chris Mullin. But that's not how it's going to go down. His tenure as head coach didn't work out. Hire the best. Don't hire the St. John kid who was once the prodigal son returning home, because it doesn't work out.